Want to witness the world's biggest football game? Head to iCanWin.com.au, predict Australia's score with a crystal ball, and it could be you and a friend at the FIFA World Cup Qatar 2022 semi-finals, all thanks to McDonald's. Maccas, together and loving it. TNCs apply.
Welcome back to Stumps. Jordan Kanellis and Bryce McGain with you, talking all things cricket, talking all things Australia and New Zealand, and also looking towards the Big Bash tonight, which brings us the grand final rematch from last season, one of the most memorable grand finals that we've had through the first eight seasons of the BBL. It's under different circumstances this time. It won't be, well, who knows, it might be as competitive, but the Renegades certainly need to get a wriggle on after a very sluggish start to the season. Dan Cherney from The Age is at the G. He'll be there covering the game tonight in Melbourne. He's joining us now on Stumps. Hello, Dan. How are you?
Good to be with you, Jordan. Bryce, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you too. Firstly, before we get into the BBL, just your thoughts, I suppose. You watch a lot of cricket. Your thoughts on the Australia-New Zealand series so far and what we've seen so far through the first 2 days in Sydney?
Well, I suppose it's not... What is there to say? It's been very one-sided, hasn't it? The Aussies are completely dominant. A little bit of resistance at last shown by New Zealand with the bat late this afternoon, but too little too late. I think, as Jared Waitley put it on ACN the other day, you know, sort of all manner of calamity has befallen New Zealand. It's sort of the nature, checking every box on what can go wrong on an Australian tour, you know, illness and injury. You love it. It is sort of a bit of black humour, but it is like that. You get, illness and injury and lack of form and just guys just not adjusting to the conditions and sort of arriving too late, not having a tour match, sort of leaves you on the back foot. Selection controversy there yesterday with Southie and Henry. The replacements, guys coming back. You know, Jet Ravalo going to be recalled after being dropped and then getting sick. So it's just been, calling over Will Somerville to play it is at his home, his sort of old home ground. It's been very one-sided, but I think Australia's Australia barely put a foot wrong, and especially given Steve Smith hasn't dominated. I mean, he's probably been edged in his battle by with Neil Wagner, which has been probably the one who's been just about the one shining light for New Zealand, but, a couple of good batting efforts here and there. But that's made Australia's performance all the more remarkable. And obviously, Marnus Labuschagne, I think, we run out of superlatives, don't we? It's just extraordinary to think how this guy's going, and now that he moved ahead of Smith, the all-time Australian Test averages, he just wouldn't have picked it in a million years. But here we are, January 4th, 2020, and Marnus Labuschagne stands behind Don Bradman.
It's incredible, isn't it? He just can't stop making runs. We started that at the beginning of the show. It's quite incredible, Dan. But look, the Australian team looked pretty complete. It's probably 6 months ago, we were a bit unsure about where we stood just before the Ashes. What's our best team? We're not too sure, but we've really given opportunity to players like Marnus, and then our bowling attack is world-class. It's as good as it gets.
Yeah, no, you're right, Bryce. Especially in Australian conditions now that, especially with Smith and Warner back and Marnus having sort of established himself, the batting issue, admittedly not against quality, an attack the calibre of the one that we saw last summer against India, but nevertheless, that Warner, Labuschagne, and to a lesser extent, Smith have batted well this summer, and then obviously you've got the nice cameo from Head in Melbourne, and Joe Burns and Matthew Wade haven't probably set the world on fire, but haven't been complete flops either. So in terms of, and then Tim Payne's made runs down the order. So in terms of a batting lineup, it's. You couldn't ask for too much more, really, which, given the struggles that they had over the previous 2 years, even when Smith and Warner were playing, they were still susceptible before the bans. They were still susceptible to some serious collapses. So it's been, you can only play the opposition you're up against. And in the bowling, you're right. The way Mitchell Starc's bounced back from his difficult time in England, Pat Cummins clearly just outstanding. Josh Hazlewood, very, very solid. And then he goes down and you get a fresh James Pattinson who comes and fires up in Melbourne. And Nathan Lyon, all the while, sort of flying under the radar, Australia's greatest ever spinner. So, there's not much to complain about, really, from an Australian perspective. They've barely put a foot wrong all summer. And you know, there'll be bigger tests to come, but you can only beat who you're playing. And New Zealand came here as the second-ranked test nation in the world, and truth be told, they've been pantsed.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. Look, the bit of a breaker for the test matches. Our next test series is in June, I believe, against Bangladesh. Is that right?
Yes, I think that's correct. Yeah. A couple of tests in Bangladesh where Australia did actually play not that long ago, it'll be less than 3 years between those series. It was just one of the quirks of the various future tours programs. I think sort of one was towards the end of the last FTP when Australia hadn't actually played in Bangladesh for 11 years before that, and then they had one series cancelled because of security concerns, and then they're coming back there inside 3 years. But the last, I was fortunate enough actually to cover that series in Bangladesh in 2017. It floated probably a bit under the radar, given it was in August and around footy, footy season and heading into the finals. But it was a grouping test series, one all. Australia lost a classic test in Dhaka and then bounced back in Chittagong in a match in which the Aussies played in really extremely adverse conditions, oppressive heat. So I think it'll be a good test. Obviously, Bangladesh hurt by the 12-month suspension to Shakib Al-Hassan, which is a huge dent to their chances. But we've got a little while to worry about that. And I suppose it'll be interesting to see how much, from a selection perspective, whether they go back to whether a guy like Burns, and maybe to a lesser extent Wade, the other four are clearly locked in. But I think Burns and Wade, in terms of the top six, probably the two that are most vulnerable. And have they done enough on the basis of their international form, or they need to make compelling cases still in the back half of the Shield season and over and above some of the challenges for their test spots, whether it's a Marcus Harris can come out and make a lot more run, bounce back and make runs in the Shield, a Cameron Bancroft, Matt Renshaw's dropped off the face of the earth a little bit from a red ball perspective, but he's still proven himself to be a capable test player. Pekulski and Madison, these guys, Curtis Patterson, it's hard to believe it's less than 12 months since he burst onto the test scene so well. They're probably good issues for Australia to have. And then you've got, whether they, the all-rounders, whether it's a Mitch Marsh, if he can get fit again, does he, and an Ashton Agar, perhaps, are they in the frame? And then obviously they're going to look at the sweeps, and you'd imagine will almost certainly go on that tour. And I'd imagine they'll probably take a third spinner as well, with Agar probably in the box seat there as the spinning all-rounder.
Hey, Dan, you're at the MCG for the Big Bash clash tonight between the Stars and the Renegades. You wrote a story in The Age yesterday, which went around on the Fairfax websites, about the new world of Victorian cricket and how the ownership structure of the Stars and the Renegades, pretty much from the start of the Big Bash, was different to how they did it over in Sydney with their two teams up there. Tell us a bit about the premise of the story and sort of what you mean about the difference now and how the rivalry is a bit different, or how it's grown, I suppose, between the Stars and the Renegades.
Yeah, it's a bit of a backroom sort of story. It's not one that, for people who just sort of drift in and out of the Big Bash when it comes around, would probably be too across or necessarily care that much about. But it happened in May. It floated under the radar in Melbourne because it was against the backdrop of the Cricket World Cup was happening in England, so all sort of the world's cricket eyes were set there. Plus, obviously, you had the footy season going on, which obviously takes up a lot of attention there. But the Cricket Victoria, they got rid of both clubs' boards, the Stars and the Renegades, and the respective CEOs, Clint Cooper from the Stars and Stuart Coventry from the Renegades, and brought them back, brought the power sort of back in house. Ultimately, the Cricket Victoria's board now runs both clubs. There are no CEOs for either team. You've got internal heads, Cricket Victoria, who oversee both teams from a cricket operations perspective and B from a commercial and marketing perspective, and then it sort of goes down towards cricket. There are cricket operations staff at both clubs, coaches, list managers, assistant coaches, physios, etc. So one that sort of got people talking quite a bit in cricket circles, particularly Victorian cricket circles. Fair to say that the views from the people I've been speaking to, that they're mixed. Some have seen it as a breath of fresh air, perhaps just to take away a little bit of the pressure that might come from boards has probably helped a little bit. Certainly it was one view that might have helped early days for some of the cricket staff. But then by the same token, the delineation of responsibility perhaps not as clear as it had been. Staff a bit more stretched. So, I mean, you had high-profile people like Eddie Maguire and Jason Dunstall who had been the respective chairman of chairs of their clubs. So these are pretty high-powered people who are no longer involved. The proof will be in the pudding, really, but it makes for a sort of interesting backdrop ahead of tonight's match, which obviously, as you touched on, just earlier, comes as the first meeting between the clubs since last summer's extraordinary final, which I dare say it's one of the most amazing, probably the most amazing sports match I've ever seen.
It was quite amazing, wasn't it? The Stars had it all in the bag, and then suddenly the Renegades from nowhere.
Yeah, no, you're right, Bryce. It was sort of in half an hour or even less, just completely flipped on its head. It was about the space of five overs. Stars, you know, they were none down for, off the top of my head, it was about none for 90, chasing 145 or something like that. But they weren't quite going at a clip that they had completely had it in the bag, or sort of legislated against a collapse. Still, no one could have seen it coming, really. And then suddenly one wicket fell, two wickets fell, and the Stars fell in the hole. And by the end, the Renegades almost did it easily.
So the Renegades,
they run quite comfortably.
Yeah, the Renegades this season, though, a different coach, and it's been a real challenge for Michael Klinger, starting his coaching career with the Renegades, coaching the former champions, and they're yet to have a win. What does it look like for tonight? Because the Stars are on top. It's top versus bottom, and it's a real challenge for the Renegades. It's do or die now.
Yeah, no, it's a pretty fair assessment, Bryce. I mean, he's a little bit of a hiding to nothing, I suppose you could say, Michael Klinger. When you take over as the coach of the defending champions, there's not much improvement left to go. You know, the only way is down, I suppose, in some respect, or obviously stay at the top. But he surely wouldn't have anticipated such a dramatic fall to lose five in a row. And they're in all sorts, the Renegades. I mean, they haven't been completely smashed, which is probably a good sign. It's not like they're absolutely being pummeled every game they play, but they're, as Aaron Finch said after the loss to the Sydney Sixers on Thursday night at Marvel Stadium, they're just losing in two or three overs a match, and some of the moments that sort of came off last year, I feel, are just not coming off this year. I think there's, the guys aren't going on with school. Finch himself has made a couple of 50s. Sean Marsh made a 50 against the Scorchers, but they're not going on with it. Drop catches, missed runouts, little missed fields. The bowling, Kane Richardson's been outstanding. Cameron Boyce has been solid again, but Dan Christian hasn't performed like he did last year. And then, unfortunately, Richard Gleeson, who's come in as one of their imports from England as a death bowler, just hasn't looked up to it to this stage of the season.
And he's been taken apart.
He's been a bit of a liability. He was a bit better last night, but even then, he went for a six in the final over, which effectively ensured the match was going the way the Sixers. So, they've got Harry Gurney due back tonight, having missed. He too hasn't had a great start to the season after performing very well in their title win last year. But he's back from his brother's wedding, missed a game, head back to England for that. Time is running out for them. They're 0-5. They're helped by the fact that the season goes for 14 games now, like it did last year's second season of that four home and away campaign, and also the fact that there are now five teams out of eight that make the finals, so there is a little bit more breathing space, and they could probably sneak in with, say, six wins and a moderate net run rate would probably do it. So they probably need to win at least six of their last nine, which is not completely impossible, and there's enough talent in that team, but they are going to lose Finch and Kane Richardson to international duties, and then also a couple of guys who haven't been playing. To be fair, in Fraser McGurk and Mackenzie Harvey to Australia and under-19 duties. So they're up against it, the Renegades, and they arrive here against the Stars team that's flying, as you said, top of the table, lost just the one game, looked very well balanced. Spoiled for Richard, spoiled for choice. They're able to leave out the red-hot Harris Ralph to bring back Sandeep Lamachane,
So that they're going great guns for Stars, and you know, nothing will avenge for last. Won't be vengeance for last something's final, because that's a final, and you know, there's nothing like it. But you know, they can really. Really tighten the screws on the Renegades season with a win here tonight at the MCG.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And the big blow to the Renegades, as you mentioned, is Kane Richardson. He's their leading wicket taker, and Aaron Finch is their second run scorer, although he hasn't set things on fire. They're both out from the next game. One of the sides that really interests me, and this is a bit of a broader view rather than tonight's game, Brisbane Heat. They just seem to be finding a bit of touch. They belted the ball around the park down in Tassie last night, and they look to found their mojo on the back of a Darren Lehman spray, I understand. But with someone like an AB de Villiers coming back into that lineup, suddenly things look very, very different.
Yeah, I mean, they're such a hot and cold team, the Heat, and they really have been for a few years now. Their best is sort of is unstoppable. I mean, there's such firepower, would we know at the top of the order. I mean, when they had Brennan McCullum, but you know, now they've obviously Chris Lynn. You know, Ben Cutting, Max Bryant, and the like, and Tom Banton, who's come in from England, has shown a bit of that. He's going to be replaced by de Villiers, but there is a heap of talent there when it all comes together. But their worst, as we saw the other night on the Gold Coast, is very poor. So the challenge for them, as it has been for a while now, will be to string some consistent performances together. But that is sort of the nature of this Big Bash. There is quite a, you know, 2020 cricket can be erratic. I think the salary cap means that the talent is very evenly spread across the teams. It probably says it all that the Renegades, who are the reigning champions, are at the bottom of the table team this year without much having changed. And really, you know, it's not like they were absolutely blowing teams off the park last year. So that they were getting by in a lot of close games and sort of scrapping their way to wins on the back of bits and pieces of performances of the Renegades. So the broader point is that it is a very even competition. There's not much between any of the teams, and I think it's still very, very much wide open. The Heat, because of their firepower, that they'd have to be, you know, considered. And they're not going to lose Lynn, who's not in the Australian white ball setup anymore. They're going to keep him, so they'll be dangerous, and they'll get James Pattinson as well. So they're a team clearly to watch, but not necessarily any more than half a dozen other teams, because as I said, it is, you can probably really throw a blanket over most of this competition.
Dan, thank you very much for joining us this evening on Stumps. We'll talk to you very soon again, I'm sure, throughout the rest of the cricket and Big Bash season. Enjoy the derby tonight at the G.
Pleasure, guys. Have a good one.
Cheers, Dan.
Dan Journey there from The Age in Melbourne, getting ready to cover the Stars v Renegades grand final clash, the first time these sides meet in this Big Bash season. This is Stumps, Jordan Canellis and Bryce McGain with you. Off the back of that, we'll chat a bit about the Big Bash up next and the some of the controversy from during the week about Harris Ralph in the game the other day against the Sydney Thunder, as well as some other fascinating cricket topics that were raised throughout the week. Stumps returns next.
Want to witness the world's biggest football game? Head to iCanWin.com.au, predict Australia's score with a crystal ball, and it could be you and a friend at the FIFA World Cup Qatar 2022 semi-finals, all thanks to McDonald's. Maccas, together and loving it. TNCs apply.